Blog Talk Radio.
Calling in about 15 minutes, but here we go. I just started drinking some coffee, trying to network today, so I'm trying to launch everything here. One's in the chat room. Okay, let's see. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm launching the chat room. It's a little slow. It is Ninja Sunday. Ninja Sunday, and my guest today is going to be Jay Walker, artist Jay Walker, which I've known for quite some time now on Facebook. Is Jay just trying to type and talk with one hand? So here we go. Opening up in promo. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bringing it up. That I wanted to read, and this is for, of course, the Sarah Joy Foundation, and this is actually a foundation on Facebook. The Sarah Joy Foundation is a way of honoring Sarah Joy, who passed away from cancer at 32 years of age, leaving behind two small boys and her husband, Eric. Through this foundation, our vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy their life as much as they can. Sarah, in her last year, did more traveling activities than most people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast, the list goes on and on. She did all this while being told she was too sick to get out of bed. Too many families make their lives a husk in four walls because of this illness, and that for Sarah was never an option. Through raising money, we'd like to offer other families the same joy that Sarah and we had before she passed. It is amazing what a day in a spa could do, or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer does not mean death, and people shouldn't mourn while someone while they are alive. Enjoy life, love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves in the fall, or the flowers of spring. We'll be organizing fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. Now, Sarah, I've never met personally, but she's part of my extended family. Sarah was actually pregnant with her second son and didn't want to receive treatment. Thus, after her son was born, she lost her battle with cancer. Now, out of that tragedy, a silver lining was made, and it is actually the Sarah Joy Foundation. So anybody that can actually give to the Sarah Joy Foundation, please check it out on Facebook. It will be greatly, greatly appreciated. So now I'm just getting so psyched. The holidays are up and such, and I'm going to sneeze. I'm getting ready to sneeze any minute now. So my guest, things happen, you know, and I'm like, okay, I want to get one guest for my show today. So I'm going to sit and have some cappuccino here. Well, I made it myself. I'm just telling you, know, it's like one of the things you put through your coffee filter and everything like that. And I'm actually part of the trying to raise money also for the Bruce Lee Foundation. And I'm trying to see where okay. I'm trying to pull it up here. And I'm actually pulling up the page. I'm actually collecting funds for the Bruce Lee Foundation. And Bruce Lee, as we all know, is going to be turning 75 November. And, oh, sure, my nose is going to start running now. I wish I could have had, oh, great. I got kind of blow my nose here. Well, I'm actually going to play a song. I wanted to see, pick out a song. Let's see. What did I want to actually play a song. Let's see. How about Unbreakable by Cardiac, and I'll be back.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me, let it rain on down. I'm on my way, you hear that sound.
hold on. For success is to hold me. You're beautiful, mama. You're everything I need. Family with me. The waters run deep. Now I'm in the knowing this evil around me. But now that you got me, nothing can find me. See no big shot with a powerful army. I'm calling it love, and the rest get the dub. I'ma stay wise with the goddess above. I look to the skies with love in my eyes. I'm unbreakable. I'm unbreakable.
Kristen on the track.
And it's a little turn up, kicking up a notch today. Sorry that things didn't work out the way I thought it was going to today. I'm having one guest coming in at 12:30 today. So I will be having Jay Walker call in at 12:30. So I'm playing a little bit of music, and I will be reading a promo in a little bit. So here I am. I'm going to play a couple of songs, Shine On Me by Ancient Sage, all the way from New Zealand, Rick Dinham, who's on my show and playing now, and I'll be back.
Shine on me.
And tell me the same.
Shine.
you go.
You thought that I was weak, but I am strong. You thought that I would crumble, you were wrong. You filled my mind with mockery and banter, delusions of grandeur. You gathered after game, tried to surmise. You thought you had me psycho and alive. You thought my mind was blinded by your rapture, delusions of grandeur.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchucks Show on Ninja Sunday with my little furball co-host and Jackie Chan Kitty and little Rocky Balboa. And they're being very good, which I'm very thankful for. Today is kind of one of those days, things happen, and I only have one guest on my show, so I have about an hour left. And I know, I apologize, things can't happen, but I am very happy to have someone on my show, ladies and gentlemen. The person that I'm actually on my show, I've been on Facebook friends with him for years. He's an artist that you just got to love. You know, he takes things to heart and, he, you know, shows his passion and stuff. Before I bring him on, now remember, Bruce Lee's birthday is actually the 27th of November. It's coming up. So I became part of the Bruce Lee Foundation to raise $1,000 that is going to actually help a student. It's 75 for the 75th campaign, Giving Education Bruce Lee's 75th birthday. And I actually put my picture on it. It is actually verified with the Bruce Lee Foundation. If anybody wants to ask, you can ask them. I'm raising at least $1,000 before Bruce Lee. I haven't raised any money yet, but I posted on my Facebook page. And the money that is raised through me is actually going to go through a student. So it's in honor of Bruce Lee's birthday for his 75th birthday. So if you can check that out, donate. So, and we roll with it. Roll with it, baby. So let's go, ladies and gentlemen. Give me one moment. I think I see someone in the queue. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Jay Walker.
Jay Walker, welcome. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome to Ninja Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so happy to finally have you on my show. Finally, welcome.
Thanks. I know. How long have you been trying to do this?
Going? I don't know.
Oh, my dear.
It's been, I don't know. It's, you know, things happen in life and stuff, and it's like, it's just been one of those crazy days. It's just one of those crazy days, and I'm like, you know, you just like, you have to wing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so how's it going for you?
Going great right now. Things are really going well with my acting. I'm doing a lot of theater, doing some research into TV and film project. I've got other things down the line. So things are going real well.
Oh, sweet. Now, you know, I'm going to have like regular normal questions before I get into your artist aspect and stuff like that. And I always tell my, you know, all my guests, I'm pretty good asking questions because sometimes I just think of the top of my head, but they're no questions. But if, for instance, there's something you don't want to talk about, to say, I have no comment. I'll just move on. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Now, are you able to talk about your childhood, how it was like for you growing up?
Yeah, I can talk about that. Pretty much an open book. Childhood was what, you know, it was interesting. I've always, as you pointed out in your intro, I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I take a lot of things, I feel a lot of things deeply. And so I wasn't really a popular kid in elementary school, and it did have me down. When I got to high school, I really came into myself. I thank my music teacher, my theater teacher, for helping me with that. Mark Colazzi and Joe Wallace, the couple of great guys. And they really helped me become the person I am today. And so I came out of my shell, and I got a lot of friends and went on to college. And from college, I found all these other different organizations that do art, and I just got involved.
Hmm. So it's been a little bit of a ride for you, right?
Little bit. I try yeah. I try not to focus too much on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know what it is, what's unique about artists is because we don't, not to get into too much detail, but we all go through something in our own lives. And I tend to know that because, you know, even myself, and it's like, what we have, and it's like because we all go through whatever pain it is in our life, we find an art, whether it be acting, drawing, director, modeling or something, and we can take whatever in our lives and we can turn it and flip it. And I honestly think that's something that you possibly have done with your life. And, you know, I always ask questions and stuff because it's like I want people to know, you know, because if they're not in the entertainment business, they're not artists, they don't understand. And it's like, because a lot of times people, you know, they have to pay for a roof over their head and so many different things, and it's not always glamorous. And, during, like, downtime, you know, because, like, with any artist, you know, sometimes we don't have a way to perform and stuff. I mean, what did you do during your downtime? How did you overcome getting into, like, your next project and such?
Well, I'm also a writer. I primarily do poetry. I've also done short stories and some film scripts that have yet to be produced. But I primarily do poetry, so I never really had a lot of downtime. Anytime I wasn't working on a theater project or a film project or any other kind of project, I was off in some cafe in the corner watching people go by and just thinking about life and writing poetry. So I was developing, at first I was developing self-published chapbooks, and then I found a publisher that was open to poetry, and so I hooked up with them and started publishing actual ISBN carrying books for purchase.
And how has that been working for you?
Well, the poetry really carried me through a lot of dark days. I'm always grateful for the gift of being able to formulate words and use metaphor and simile and alliteration and hyperbole and things like that. It's a wonderful thing, and it really helps to deal with a lot of the pain and strife that life can bring.
And so when do you have your most inspiration to write? When is the most inspirational time? Is it because people... Everybody's different. Sometimes when someone's happy, they can write. Sometimes when they're, you know, when they go through things and they're kind of depressed, writing helps them. What is your most, I don't know if you can say positive, but what is the most times you actually write? Is it at any time at all?
Any time at all for me, yeah. I can write when I'm happy. I do have to say that a lot of my comes from even the mildest frustration. I have this one particular piece I wrote because it wasn't even my frustration I was dealing with. I was dealing with my friend's frustration of all these young poets coming up, quoting or paraphrasing, doing whatever to Gil Scott Heron's The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, yet they don't even know who Gil Scott Heron is and have never read that poem or heard it performed. And so he was frustrated. I felt his frustration, and I wrote a very fun piece about that, and it became my signature piece in the 90s. And so I do get a lot of great stuff from frustration, but I can write when I'm happy too. I'm one of those sappy poets who writes when he's in love, and then when it goes bad, you know, I write about that. And so it's really just any time something moves me to write, I write.
Okay, and I was like, you know, I didn't even think of this because, you know, you write and stuff. Is there something I'm probably going to put you on the spot right now, but it's for a good thing. Would you be able to read some of your poetry live on the air? Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that if I I'm trying to think of which one. Since I referenced the piece, let me see if I can remember that piece, because I don't have any of my stuff on me. Here's the interesting thing. All the hard copies of my stuff were lost somewhere between here and California.
Oh, geez.
So
okay.
I have nothing printed out at all. Everything is on my computer at home. So, like I said, this piece became my signature piece in the 90s, so I could probably pull it out of thin air. It's called The Not Another Revolution Poem. And it goes like this. Let's get something straight right from the start. I am not going to do another revolution poem. I'm not. Oh, wait, hang on a second.
Okay, okay,
I'm not about jumping in.
Okay. So it's like we're going to reset. Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, reset. Rewind. Let's get something straight right from the start. I am not going to do another revolution poem. I'm not about jumping on the bandwagon to the next battlefield to fight alongside mere babes who eat their own bunk until their bellies are full and then fling it at the walls because they're bored. I am not going to do another revolution poem. I am... Oh, jeepers. Wow. That's just the first stanza of it. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I lost that poem. Yeah,
well,
do
you have anything written down at all?
I have nothing written down at all. Everything's on my computer at home.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Because I'm going through your Facebook page and I'm trying to see, is there something? How about on...
Which page are you going
through? Do you have
anything?
I'm going through... There's only one I think I'm on, but do you have a website?
No, I don't have a website. I do have a... Hang on. I have a Facebook page that has a whole bunch of things on it. So if I use my phone, go into Page Manager, you guys are going to get some new stuff now. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm trying to because I have, I don't know how many Facebook pages. I have the Jay Walker and it says Jason E. Walker. So that's not the one. Did you have another page somewhere?
Yes, it's facebook.com/jwalker on FB.
Jay Walker, let's see. I have three things that popped up. It says owner photographer, Jay Walker Photography, Jay Walker volunteer trainer at New Hue Training, and then I have Jay Walker works at Dump.
It might be Jay Walker.
That came up.
Well, if you go to the website, facebook.com/JayWalkerOnFB.
Jay Walker.
Yeah.
Jay Walker. And then what was the rest?
On? FB.
FB.
As in Facebook.
Maybe this is you. It looks like a blurry face. Is this you with the page? Okay, it says J. Bird Street Productions.
That's one of my pages. That's for when I direct. That's one for when I direct and produce film and events.
Okay, that's something else. So I don't know why I'm not finding the other one. Well, I found this page anyway. So if there's a page you can actually find with your, you won't get disconnected, will you?
No, I'm actually looking for it right now. Here we go. Let me share this one.
Okay.
This is new. This is not yet published. And it uses words from a song called Flaws. I'm trying to remember the name of the group. It's called Flaws, and this poem is called The Ground of Us. You have always worn your flaws upon your sleeve, and I have always buried them deep beneath the ground. Actually, that's backwards. I would wear my heart on my sleeves if I would bother with clothing. Instead, I stand exposed to the elements and everyone everywhere. Wearing my heart on my naked wrist would be redundant. You have your flaws buried beneath loads of bull. You paint it pretty and say it's sunshine. But earth always turns. as the earth always turns, and my jagged heart is a trowel for your well-fertilized garden. I dig up your sunflowers without even trying and reveal the stone underneath, breaking both in the process. But a stone is a stone, even chipped, while you can't call an upside-down heart a spade if it's too broken to dig. My tools lie discarded while your stone stands firmly, gathering moss. My metal is metal, though. I can recycle, renew, retool the tool. I can melt it myself with my own phoenix heat, reforge its stronger, fertile soil. But that's okay. All ground has its flaws, I guess. Dig them up. Let's finish what we started. We'll never finish what we started, leaving unsaid seeds blocked by your stone, but rest assured what we started is finished. Nothing can grow in this poisoned field, this scorched earth, still with embers smoldering. The ground of us is too flawed. It's long past time I move on. That's that piece.
Okay. And you said you had, did you have something else too? That's kind of nice. That's really nice. And where did you get the inspiration for that poem before we move on to the second one?
That was a brokenhearted poem. Just a person that I had a lot of faith in, a person that I thought could help me through a bad part in my life, turned out to just make it worse. And she thinks she's taken responsibility for her part in it, but she really hasn't. She didn't understand what it was she did.
I think I can relate to that. I think I can.
Yeah.
It's like I'm like the male version of you. I mean, female version of you. Because it's like, oh, my God, is that a friend? It's like, I've been there, dude. Yes. So I says when my brothers, I'm like, you know, it's like, you know, the guy says, I'm always stuck in the friend zone. Hello. I understand. it's like I just understand. It's like, why do I understand? I don't know. It's like maybe I was a man in another life. I don't know, but I kind of get, you know, sometimes how you feel. So that just seemed like, you know, writing is actually a very positive thing when you're upset through life experience. And that was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And so you want to move on to a second one?
Move on to what?
Another one, the second one, and any other poems? I like hearing this stuff. I can't help it. This is interesting. So I was like, if there's anything else you wanted to read, now's your chance. Promo, Jay.
Okay. Ends happy, so I'm going to read this one. It's called Perhaps. I wanted to see you one last time before I left, but you were too far. I didn't have the fuel to get to you. Neither did my car. They say everything happens for a reason, so there must be a reason you were too far. Perhaps you would have been an enabler. I would have run stumbling into your arms. You would have taken me into your watery embrace, let me breathe you in, rock me inside you to that sweet sleep. I would have let you drag me down, weighted by hundreds of pills. Perhaps I was meant to be found on dry land, not lost in ocean depth. Found still breathing air, not your embryonic fluid. Found yielding to first responder will, not rigid in both figurative and literal stance. Perhaps I was meant to be saved because I still had some saving to do, starting with myself. Perhaps that's why I couldn't get to you before I left. Perhaps I wasn't meant to leave. That's that one.
Oh, wow. Well, so when you're doing these poems, now you read them, have you read a lot of these in public at, I don't know what you would call it. It's a performance, it's a poetry reading, is that correct? At places, is that what you actually do with the poems?
Yes, I go to different poetry readings and I perform them on open mics, and sometimes I try to compete with them at poetry slams and try to get as much exposure as possible for them.
Oh, so is it ever like, do poets, when they're doing this, do they get really emotional?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes a poet will cry. Sometimes a poet will scream, and in fact, sometimes too often a poet will scream.
Because I was actually thinking of doing that. That's what I was asking, because I can pitch it. I think I went to, it was kind of like a reading thing I went to when I was there. I didn't know what it was at the time, but it was out in Boston. It was a chicken and waffles place. It was after a film festival.
Oh.
I was like with Crosby, Tatum, and a couple other people. We were at chicken and waffles, but they were doing some poems like that. I was like, well, they really, like, they get into it. I'm like, I can picture myself doing this. Of course, I'd probably be like, you know, like, like really get into that. It's like, it's emotional. It's almost, it is like you are kind of acting. You're putting your emotions in it. So you can actually say a piece is like, you know, as an actor, a monologue. Because if that's what you really think about it, when you want to do a monologue, except it's something you write yourself. And I'm like, I wonder if people do monologues after their own thing. Because they always say do a monologue. And I'm like, I bet if you were able to do a monologue for a part for, I could just picture you seeing going out to do an audition and you have a monologue for something you've done. And that's something they say about the cameras catch it. You know how sometimes you have to read on camera for an audition? I bet more than anything, so wonderful for you to do this. You should actually do that. You should start recording the stuff and put it on your Facebook page.
Actually, one of the short film scripts that I have written is based off of one of my poems called Beware of Dogs. And I'm in the pre-production phase of making that short film for the Rabbit Heart Film Festival next year.
That's on a page, but that's on our, is it on our, the friend page or the, just the page? You know how like we're on Friends, is it your regular page or another page?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, the one, that video that you said, what page is it actually on? Because you have a couple of pages. You know how like people have your friends on Facebook and then you have your other pages. Is that video on, like, is it on one of your pages or is it actually on a Facebook page?
The video's not ready yet. We're in pre-production right now.
Oh, okay, because I was going to look at it and check it out.
Oh, when it's all done, I will make sure.
Okay, because I also do this thing, and I have to get caught up to do reaction videos. Like one of the guys that he actually did like a horror film, this guy Nathan Suther.
I love him. He's a great.
What was it? He was on my show. And it's funny because every time I have someone on my show, someone knows them. Like, my guess is how, like, we're all connected. And he was like, not that I swear a lot on my Blog Talk Radio, but it's called the Little Fockers. What is it called, his film?
Very Little
Fockers. Talking about it. Yes. And it's like, I have to watch some of it to do a reaction for it. It says, I'll watch it. And it's like, I have to do the reaction for something else because I've been doing this. And it's just real funny because you have the camera going when watching it. And one time I was crying for this trailer for this one, what's called A Father's Journey. I didn't even see the film yet, but it was so emotional for me. I started crying watching the trailer, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is embarrassing. But it went viral. Over, 1,000 people had watched it, and I guess, you know, now knowing about the film, it's been going everywhere. It was based on a true story. So it seems like, you know, people going, watching people doing reactions says, maybe you send me the trailer sometimes. I'll take myself watching it and, you know, it'll show real reaction. Because people, you know, how do you know how they feel when they say, oh, nice. You know, like when people write in comments, but it's like, I wonder what you really think about it. So when you have a video and doing a response, it's showing an actual response, how a person really likes your work. So that's why I started doing it. Like, people like, oh, wow. You know, so if you have something, you want me to do a reaction for it, I'll definitely do it. No matter what it is. Just send it to me, and I was like, okay, and I'll tag you in it.
All right. I will do that because I do have a short film that I produced in 2012. It's called Who's Cafe? It was at the Scene Film Music and Arts Festival in 2013. And it gets a lot of great reviews all the time from all my personal friends. So definitely love to tag you in that and have you put it up and get people's reaction for that.
Yeah, I'll do my own reaction to it. You know, I'll have to watch it because, like, short films, they're pretty good, easy to watch. You know, it's like sometimes if it's something over 2 hours, I don't want to do a whole reaction watching because people will probably be bored if it's like 30 seconds or less. It's just really funny because I think my expressions are really kind of hysterical because I'm not watching, you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm watching the what your art is, what the film is. So it captures
yeah.
And cameras don't lie. That's the thing. They just don't lie. So, you know, besides like the poetry and stuff, can you let people know, you know, about you as an artist? What have you been doing in the business since you first started and how long have you been in the business?
Well, I've been entire life. I've been acting since kindergarten. I've been writing since high school. I got into Rhode Island College and got into the theater department, got into the music department, got into the radio department, and started doing all of those different things. I discovered slam poetry and started getting into that. And then I took a break, had some personal issues. There were some ungrateful people, but everybody has those, right? So I took a break to deal with that, and then I came back and started doing film. I got to be an extra in different projects in Boston and Providence, and through that I found Rhode Island Film Collaborative, started doing the 48-hour film project with a very talented team. And then I started actually running the 48-hour film project for the Rhode Island Film Collaborative. I did that for 2.5 years. I found the Scene Film Music and Art Festival, the three founders of that being Phil Popovers, Don Farias, and Linda Dwyer. They're great people, and they took me on, and I was a part of their very first planning and programming committees. Back when they were doing poetry, I ran their poetry segment for them. And then a friend of mine wrote a script in, the mid-90s. He wrote a script based on Abbott and Costello's Who's On First and performed it in a cabaret. And
oh, wow.
In 2012, I asked him for permission, and I took that script, and I adapted it for screenplay and produced the film Who's Cafe, and decided that directing and producing was something that I wanted to do with my life. So I'm working on the Beware of Dogs short film based on the poem that I mentioned earlier. I'm working on a film called Escape, which is based on that 80s song, you know, the Pina Colada song.
Oh, my God, and really?
Yes. Script I wrote myself. And I'm also working on a television show idea to promote all sorts of different arts, film and theater and music and poetry and visual art.
So have you, what's some of the name of the films that you've worked on?
As in what capacity? As an extra or as
anything? You know, like if you want to talk, if there's ones that you want to talk about. Sometimes people, you know, not all experience they want to talk about, but you know, what has been your experience in like the names of film you've been working on, whether it's extra or having a part or you know behind the scenes? What are some of the stuff that you've worked on?
Well, I loved working on 27 Dresses as an extra because the atmosphere was great. Met a lot of great people. That's where I found out about the 48-hour film project and the Rhode Island Film Collaborative. And also, they were doing something where you got what's called the Taft-Hartley waiver. And if you got three of those, you're eligible to join the union without actually having to have a speaking part. And so I worked
on
27 Dresses. Yeah. So working on 27 Dresses, I got all three that I needed, and you can sit on them for as long as you want. So right now, I'm union eligible.
Oh,
So it's a, are you actually waiting to do more films before you become SAG, like union?
I'm waiting until I move back to California to join SAG.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking everybody's like California, they're saying films and stuff, and I agree, but I'm like, I want to get out of the winter.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Jay. You know, it's like everybody's always talking about winter. I mean, films, but I'm just like, I know the stuff is out there, but I just do not want to be in the winter anymore. Oh, Lordy. I mean, thankful that this time last year, it was snowing bad up here in Maine, but there's no snow yet, so I'm so thankful, but no more winter. I just, oh my gosh, because you were out in California for a little while, weren't you?
I was, but I went about things a little bit, I made some mistakes, and I wound up being in a position where I couldn't get any traction, so I came back, decided to do some producing, and spending some time with my son, and hopefully in the next couple of years I'll get back out there.
Oh, okay. Well, would you be able to talk about out there? Because I've never been out to California. All I've seen is films. Did you get to, I mean, did you spend any time like some of the fun parks, like any of the beaches or anything? I mean, what can you tell me when you were out there? Because I've never been out there. The closest I've been out to the West Coast is Montana. So I don't know. I don't know how California, did you get to go to any of the beaches or anything while you were out there?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did, and it is absolutely glorious. Santa Monica and Malibu and all of that, it's absolutely wonderful.
Because I just can imagine, like, you know, up here in the East Coast with the beaches, but I never, it sounds silly, but to step on the beach out there, it sounds like a little tiny thing, but it must be so beautiful and so warm. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why I'm like, how is it? You know, that's why it sounds so silly, but I mean, is it beautiful, like you see in the films, like how the beaches are?
It is exactly as beautiful as you see on the TV and in the movies. And I can't wait to go back. I mean, I was born in Rhode Island, and I can't be in a place where there's no ocean, and the ocean out there is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, sweet. So, I'll know another person out in California. I know I'm
eventually
now, but it's like, who knows, maybe we'll all have lunch together. You know, it's like how they say, let's do lunch. So I'm like sitting here, it's like, I'll do lunch together. It sounds so nice. Maybe we all can do some dim sum. Oh, my gosh.
that would be
lovely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go to Chinatown. Did you get to go to Chinatown up there? I have to ask. It's just like, did you get to go up there to that?
I should have. I wanted to, but no, I never did.
Oh, what did you do? Can you tell me? I mean, I hope that's okay to ask, but when you're in California, what did you do? Like, what did you see?
Well, I helped some friends on some independent film projects, and I went to a lot of different poetry readings in the area. And I also tried to get work as an extra, and that was the majority of my time is doing those three things. So,
I mean, did you get to try, what were some of the restaurants? Did you get any of the places out there?
Oh, they had a great chicken and waffle place out there. See, part of me thinks I should have grown up in the South just because I'm all about Southern things. I love eating Cajun and Creole food, and there is a difference between Cajun and Creole, just so y'all know. There's another example. I just said y'all, even though born and raised in Rhode Island, I say y'all and howdy and things like that. So, and I tend to be a little bit more laid back than most of the other people. In fact, my director was talking about my character in the play that I'm in right now. When he was giving me notes, he told me to pick up the pace, but he didn't say those exact words. He said that he knows me, he knows how laid back I can be, he knows that this character is supposed to be laid back, but the character needs to keep pace with the other characters. So, but that's it. So I've always been kind of laid. I feel like I should have been down in like Louisiana or something like that, but I was here for a reason, just like everyone. has some sort of reason in the grand scheme of things why they are put where they are when they are.
Nice. You know, I hope someday that, you know, hopefully, I mean, there's something out, one of the radio shows out L.A., it's, I've talked with them, and they have a studio, and I thought it's like, I wish I could get, like, sponsors and commercials, because one of my big dreams is to have someone in a studio, you know, like, actually have somebody be in the studio with me, and they have a studio where I can do a show there, and it was like, it'd be so nice, you know, come to my studio, Jay, you know, you're out in California, we can have tea, and it would be nice. And then it's like, because I wish I could do this with my guests afterwards, like, let's go out to lunch, because a lot of people, I mean, they have been out in California, because they'd be like, do a radio show, do some lunch. I mean, what kind of cool life would that be? You know, it sure beats, like, you know, working where, you know, I've talked with other people about this, where my full-time job is, believe it or not, is working at a desk. And Shelly just starts working at a desk. I want to bang my head on the desk, but it's paying a roof over my head. You know, the people treat me nice there. But, you know, it's kind of like if you're an artist and you're stuck for 8 hours at a desk on the phone trying to do something, you're kind of like, this is not a life. You know, and just thinking about, like, well, what I just said, I'm trying to picture it in a radio show, and it's like going out to lunch, and that would be the norm, because I honestly feel working a desk, it doesn't feel normal to me. I know this is what people do and stuff like that, but I'm like, how could I live my life like this for the rest of my life? It's like I may as well just go put myself in the grave, because I feel like I'm killing myself slowly. If you're, because you're an artist, you understand this. So it's like when I talk about these things, hey, being a student, then we go out to lunch. That's the normal life for me. And I know you definitely can understand this because you're an artist. So it would be so nice. I'm putting it out there, and maybe someday I'll have a student like, Jay, studio, be a guest. Let's drink some tea.
Sounds good to me.
You know, it sounds really good because you're such a sweetheart. And I was like, I don't want to get into too much details and stuff. So I've been on, you know, your Facebook. I've seen a lot that you've been through. And I just want to say I'm really, really proud of you. I, you know, it's like it's such a following thing. So I know exactly from what everything you've gone through. And I'm like, it's so nice to actually have you on this earth here and talking live on the show with you. It's such an honor to have you here, because we've been on, we never met in person, but you've been a friend on my Facebook page for years now. And I was like, you know, we've touched base every now and then. And it says, I got to have him on my show. So it's great. I've got you, and I got you about for another 15 minutes. So I just wanted to tell you, you know, all that. So I just, I was trying to get so much out there. So, you know, have you had training, like any more training stuff? I want to, like, let people know in your own words, because I like recording people in their own words, you know, capture their history. Much more that you can tell about yourself on the show?
Well, my training was... That's a good question. I've just been so interested in the arts from such an early age that I just really took to whatever person was teaching at the time. When I got to high school, I had a teacher, Don Babbitt, who was teaching theater, and then he retired, and Joe Wallace came in, and I was also in the music program with Mark Colazzi. So I was training with these guys, and again, they really helped me to come out of my shell and figure out who I was as a person. And then I went to Rhode Island College, and I studied theater there. And when I started getting into film and things, I went to the New England Institute of Technology, and it would have been really nice if I had actually gotten my degrees from those places, but... life took some turns and had to leave there, both places. The Rhode Island Film Collaborative definitely helped me out with a lot of training as far as not just the technical stuff is concerned, but they used to have, I don't know if they do anymore, an actor's workshop where people can come in and just work on things they've been working on or get some notes from fellow actors. It was a very collaborative process. as far as my writing is concerned, the Cranston school system is a great school system. And so I learned a lot about the English language and was able to read all sorts of different things. And then, again, getting into the slam scene, I learned a lot about all the different beat poets and lost poets and the new poets that are out there that are just absolutely amazing. If you can look up people like Roger Bannerygard and Shane Poizan and Taylor Molly, that just sitting and listening to them do their pieces over and over again. Phil Kay, Sarah Kay, Franny Choi. These are just amazing, amazing poets out there, ranging from, you know, from as young as 15 to as old as, gosh, Jack McCarthy was going on till he died, and I think he was like in his 80s when he, in his late 80s when he passed, I think. So there's just so much available out there to learn as far as that's concerned. Even when you feel like you're ready to teach, real teachers know that they have something to learn from their students as well. So you never stop being a student even when you're teaching. And you just got to stay open to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I totally can understand about that. I just trying to think what else I can ask you, because this is I got about like 10 minutes left here. Is there the one thing that I do want to ask you is, I always ask all my guests this. Now, if someone's an artist, because as you know, art, whatever it is, it really is part of our bloodline that goes to our heart. Our work of art, once again, whether it's, you know, a writer, an actor, a director, a musician, going through a hard time, you know, to work on their dreams, anybody that's going through a hard time, what positive advice can you give to someone that is any type of artist out there that's so down on the dumps and stuff? What could you give advice to them in a positive effect?
Well, if I can get a little personal here. I know you don't want to give too many details, so you're leaving it up to me.
Yep.
I'm going to get real here. In 2012, I attempted suicide. I was very down. I felt like nothing was going right, and I felt like there was nothing I could do to fix whatever it was that was wrong with me. But having come back from that, I realized that everybody's got somebody. So if the people that you decide to lean on let you down, keep looking, because there's somebody out there that won't. And I forgot that. I have this beautiful piece that I wish I could remember off the top of my head, but I can't. And we're going to, you know, I would love to do this again just so that I can have all these different pieces.
Hey, no, you will. You definitely will. And you know what you should do is, what I've seen, people have been taking the work and they've been doing a mem, like they take pictures of themselves, and if they're writing something, you could do that, a picture of yourself, whether you're looking out on a beach or something, and something you wrote, you can have it on the side of your picture. You know, you can actually do something like that. You know, and put that, you could actually make an album. You know, it's like my poetry, and you can do these beautiful pictures, take some pictures, and then put your poetry behind it. Because then it's like, you don't have to have a worry about it ever being copyrighted. I know everybody takes everything from Facebook, but you take your own pictures. They're your own pictures. And no one can ever, you know what I'm saying? No one ever could say anything that, and it's your writing, so you put it together with a picture you're taking, and, you know, and the thing that I learned too, what's it called, the poor man's copyright? If you ever, you know how like it takes a little while, you send yourself something in an envelope and don't open it up. So if you have
That's
stuff
right.
out there, before you put it out there in the public. You should always be careful and just mail it to yourself. You know, it's called a poor man's copyright. I heard that a long time ago. And, you know, you just cover your butt, because there was a, you know, a little bit instances. This girl that's on my Facebook page, she designed these sweatshirts, and she was like, she modeled it, and it just happened. And, you know, she had this saying on a shirt. So someone actually took it, had, like, what is the correct word, Audacity, and was selling that sweatshirt that was her idea, and took her actual picture that she was modeling and put it onto a site. So last night I was sitting there calling up. It was off, I think, eBay or something. I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, yeah, that's a picture of me. It doesn't show her face, but it's her in her own sweatshirt. And it's for a cause. It's not. I don't even think she's making money off it. I think it's cause for dogs and stuff. And I was like, that's so wrong for someone to do that. Not just to steal. When you're posting on Facebook, you're not making any money. You know, you're sharing stuff. It's one thing. But if you're taking someone's work, something that they work for, and you're making money off it, you're trying to say it's yours. Plus, they had the audacity to take her actual picture of her in the picture. I'm just like, oh, how people could do something like that, I would just want to smack around. So anything you write, put it on Facebook, send yourself, you know, through the mail.
Yeah.
It's only like a stamp, but, you know, you cover your butt. So I've got about, with you, maybe about 7 minutes left. So, you know, like I said, the certain thing about, you know, because I knew all about that. I didn't want to bring it up, and it's, you know, totally up to you. And like I said, I never, ever want to make any of my guests feel uncomfortable. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up that, you know, because as of right now, it looks like you're very strong and very sure of yourself and stuff. Is there something, you know, you had through to get to where you are at this exact time frame?
Well, that's a very interesting observation, because I get that a lot these days. And, you know, sometimes I don't feel that way. Sometimes people will tell me, oh, you look happy, or you look well, you look strong, you look like you're doing well. And I'll be faking it. You know, I'll just be muddling through, and it comes across as making it. You know, the old thing, fake it till you make it. You know, that rings true with your own personal positivity more than it does with really anything else in order to make it as a person. You've got to push through even when you're not feeling it, and then eventually you'll get to the other side of it. And that's what happened to me, to, you know, reference that poem I can't remember again. It's this beautiful piece that compares us to flowers and wonders about the beauty of a flower as opposed to the beauty that we perceive. Is it all in the perception of other people? And the truth is that everything has a purpose and everything has a beauty to it, whether or not it's even observed. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it, doesn't make a sound, the tree is still there. The tree exists, and the flowers exist and have a purpose, just like we do. And like I said, I totally forgot about the message of that tree that I wrote, and I don't want to ever forget again, because I've got some really great friends out there. Some of them are artists and some of them aren't, but they're just people who I know I can count on. I counted on the wrong people at the time when I needed them most, and I just totally forgot about the people I could count on. So that's really what I want to say. It's just keep looking for the people you can count on, because there's going to be somebody.
Yeah, there's somebody. You know, it's like another thing too is like, because I always say, I've been saying this, the art of communication is lost. And the thing is, everything's technology. On my show, I'm using a computer. On my work, I'm using a computer. And then people, what I've got sick of, everybody's texting, and you just got to tell them we're texting someone, and you go to pick up the phone to call someone, and they don't want to talk, but they'll keep texting. I was like, I don't want to talk. And it's like, it's so ridiculous, and it's so, you know, everything that people go through, like, you know, with, like, Robin Williams. You know, I honestly believe the man kind of felt really alone in this world because everything that he was going through, people want money. I mean, when you reach a certain stardom, people are going to be like, hey, Robin. And who is really there? You know, it's kind of like, I mean, you go through so many things like you hear, like, people have gone bankrupt that had money. But where are the people that were there at your high point of your life when you're at the low point of your life? And it gets so depressing because even I kind of get like, oh, my God. And I'm like, I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed. I'm very happy with my life. I have a roof in my head. I don't live with the drama that most people do. But it's kind of like you're trying so hard. I want my own success. And there's times like this is just too much because I'm trying and trying. And I hit a plateau and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm stepping away from everything. I'll go watch a film. And people like say, oh, you got to, no, you shouldn't just do that. Don't take a nap. Don't do this. But it gets overwhelming because you feel like, I don't feel like I'm going any forward. So it's kind of like resetting. And people's art, people's films, I've told people this so many times, when I'm watching a film, whatever it may be, I'm learning from them and I'm getting away from my problems for a couple hours to reset. And they're going, okay, I just stopped thinking because I know they say, like Bruce Lee, clear your mind. I can't totally clear my mind. It's like a tornado in there. Like, there's still, like, one or two things I'm thinking of. No matter how clear your mind, there's something in there.
Yeah.
I think you can clear it so much, but then you could bring something to it. So I just wanted to kind of leave on that note. And, Jay, I just want to say thank you for being a guest on my show today. And next time you're on my show, we'll be a little bit better prepared. We'll get you, you know, get your stuff together in a couple of weeks. I should have you back on my show. And thank you for being on my show today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and you have enjoy the rest of your Ninja Sunday.
Oh, I will. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, different Ninja Sunday today. And just remember, everybody out there, if you're an artist or a dreamer or anything, just remember, you as good as anybody else. And just you remember that. And I'm closing out with Angelo Garcia, former boy band member of with Delusions of Grandeur. And everyone enjoy the rest of their day.
Delusions of Grandeur.
Of God. You thought that I was weak, but I am strong.